Amen. Had a couple of questions after the last session, so someone said, boy, that was great. Where can I learn more? Again, I want to share that. This message right here on this tape, Dinosaurs in the Bible, it's done by Dr. David Catchpool. He's Australian, amen. And so when you hear the message, it'll be in Australian. But anyhow, that's what you'd want. And then this rather large book, Dragons, Legends, and Lore. This is what's called an interactive book. It has all sorts of things. But everything that I covered and then a lot more is also in here. Okay? And so these are two resources that have everything that I mentioned for the most part in the last message. Now, you might say, well, if I can only get one book, this is it. Can you answer, where did Cain get his wife? How could God get all those animals on the ark? What about radiometric carbon dating? Is there really a God? Why is there death and suffering? There's over 70 questions answered in this book right here. It's called the Answers Book. And so if you can only get one book, this is the one I would recommend. If you say, well, I want to witness to somebody, this is it. Because I have found that when you can find somebody's hot button, amen, we all have one. You know, for me, it's New England Grinders, amen? Yes, that's my hot button. You got my attention when you get me around a ham and cheese grinder. But, you know, it's something they're interested in. This is full of hot buttons. And on the back is a list of questions that are answered, some of them. And so I would recommend this resource right here. So thanks for asking about those and what we can do. My name is Skip Tilton. I'm the founder of what's called From Day One Ministries. My journey, someone asked me about that. Very simply, I grew up in New England. I didn't know the Lord. My family wasn't Christian. I went into the United States Navy. I was saved in Goose Creek, South Carolina, back in 1982, outside of Charleston. The Lord called me into the ministry. I went to Baptist University of America, Bob Jones University. I pastored Finger Lakes Baptist Church in Geneva, New York. And then the Lord sent me to Answers in Genesis, where I spent almost 10 years coordinating the construction and speaking full-time for them of the Creation Museum. And then since that time, I traveled on the road as an evangelist for Creation Ministries International, and now with my own ministry, preaching about the authority of the Word of God. Amen? My journey has allowed me to go to some phenomenal places. I've spoken in Christian schools, public schools, Old Miss University, all sorts of places to talk about what we're talking about this morning. And so I'm honored that pastors invited me to come. I'm experiencing the South Carolina allergy season. Amen. And so, so we pray that my voice will make it through the next hour. So we've got a lot of slides, as you saw, for those who were here last hour. I speak in gusts of 600 to 800 words per second. And we're going to do a little less. We'll do about 90 slides this session. But I want you to sit back and I want you to consider very seriously what we're going to talk about. If you're here this morning and if I were to ask you, if you know you died today, would you go to heaven? And you don't know the answer to that question, I want to encourage you to listen to what we're about to cover. Because I have found in my life, this was probably the biggest hindrance to why I didn't become a believer. And it was the way I thought. And I wasn't taught to think about things when I was educated in my younger years. I was taught this fact, and you reproduce this fact, and you move on. I wasn't taught to think about why that truth might be true. I was just taught, you want to get to the next grade? You get the right answer and move on. Many of you have had that. Amen? We need to learn how to be thinkers. And so, I want to talk to you this morning about examining your worldview. And I want to jump right back to the verse we used last hour. And brother, I could preach on this verse, I'm convinced, for a week. No problem. There's so much in this verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And just briefly, I want to draw your attention to this. that you would be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you. When's the last time somebody asked you about your life and your life with the Lord? And I submit to you that many of you have never been asked, most likely because you're not ready to give an answer. And I want to encourage you that you can. I want to encourage you to show you that this world desperately needs answers, and there are people that want answers. It's just that some of us haven't prepared ourselves to give answers, okay? And so, part of that reason is how we've been blinded. Do you realize in America we've got more seminaries and colleges and Christian bookstores and radio than any other country in the world? And yet our country is getting less Christian every day. 15 years ago when I started using this slide, I am amazed at how much our country has slid farther away from the Lord in 15 years. I'm 54, okay? I'm just amazed at how much has changed. And there's a reason for it. And that reason lies in how people view the world that they live in. What is your worldview? And I want to define that for you. A worldview is a way that it's the overall perspective of how you see and how you interpret the world that you live in. We all have a worldview. As Ken Ham said once, it's really funny, he'd say, hey, I could do it in Australian, oh yeah, we all have a bias. The question is, what's the right bias to be biased by? And we do. We all have a bias. But if you're, if your bias is founded on the wrong principles, your life is going in the wrong direction. Fast. Evolution is a worldview. It's a worldview that says we have certain beliefs about the past and the present that they presuppose, okay? That there's no God, for instance. At least there's no God who performed acts of special creation. You know, so they build a different way of thinking to interpret the facts that are in the world. The facts that are in the present. And so they say this world is millions of years old and death, suffering, disease have always been around. And man came from monkeys and dinosaurs turned into birds and so on and so forth. And this worldview is pummeled into our society over and over again. Quite simply, people believe in evolution because that's all they've ever been taught. They have no idea there's an alternative. I don't believe anybody ever could define the Bible to me when I was in high school. I went to Christian fellowships because there were cute girls in it. That's why I went, okay? But, you know, I even starred as Joseph in a Christmas play, okay? But still, the whole worldview never came into picture. Okay, I got the Christmas story. Okay, but why is there sin? Where did it come from? Why do people die? You know, why is there pain and suffering if there's a loving God? These questions hounded me in my thinking, and then I would say, the Bible isn't true. Why? Because they can't answer those questions. And this saturation of evolution, millions of years and millions of years, gets put into our head. You know, science is important for person's faith for several reasons. One, the validity of the Bible is under attack, and people want to say, well, scientists say, well, we're going to look at that science in a moment. We're going to look at that, what we're taught and who is a professional and who's to be trusted. You want to know what a professional is in our culture today? A professional is someone in a suit and tie carrying a briefcase in another neighborhood other than his own who hasn't said anything yet. That's what he is. He hasn't said anything yet, so he must be a professional. He looks good. Because our world is so saturated on looks, it doesn't consider the heart, does it? Not at all. And so, is the Bible fact or fiction? They do news stories, for instance. You know, here's one. This was in Fox News recently, last year. The iguana relative shows how lizards spread worldwide. An 80-million-year-old lizard was discovered. Fossils show the big bug ruled the seas 460 million years ago, almost 500 million years ago. And these artists draw up these things. How much information did I have before they made that statement? They had a fragment of a bone. And that's it. And they build this whole story around a fragment. Folks, that's not science. That's a belief. It's a story, and it happens all the time. As I said earlier, I was taught in high school that no one knows exactly where, no one knows exactly when. There was this blob. Something that was inorganic became organic. Dr. Tim Lee said it this way. He said, I was a tadpole when I began to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I became a monkey in a coconut tree. Now I'm a man with a PhD. Would you believe me? But that's the way it's taught. That's something that has, that this information just arose out of random and chance processes. Wait till we do biological diversity later on in this seminar. You're going to sit back and go, I had no idea. Because I had no idea either. No one ever told me when I was a teenager. We sat in a classroom with human beings in a jar at the end of my classroom. Yeah, because I didn't know. So there's an alternative. People just aren't told it. How do we get taught it? Here's a picture of the Grand Canyon. They say, oh, look at those rock layers. Those rock layers are millions of years old. And then we look in those rock layers. What do you find? We find all sorts of things in there. What do those things represent? Death, disease, pain, struggle, suffering. That's all. That's what it is. And so the earth is millions of years old. That's his worldview. That's the evolutionist worldview. And that's how he justifies it. Because basically evolution says science has proven you can't trust the Bible. Science has proven you can't trust the Bible. Well, that's a false statement. I'm going to show you that in this message. Let's start. Let me show you how some people think. This is Frank Zindler, an American atheist. He said, the most devastating thing, though, that biology did to Christianity was the discovery of biological evolution. Now that we know that Adam and Eve were never real people, the central myth of Christianity is destroyed. If there never was an Adam and Eve, there never was an original sin. If there never was an original sin, there's no need of salvation. If there's no need of salvation, there's no need of a Savior. And I submit that puts Jesus, historical or otherwise, into the ranks of the unemployed. I think that evolution is absolutely the death knell of Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, this man understands the issue better than most Christians today. Because what he's saying is true in the way that he's thinking. His logic is correct in his thinking. The sad part is, he doesn't understand the real history of the world. He's been blinded by his faith in evolution. What's the result when people have this worldview of evolution? I'm just going to show you one. This is Jeffrey Dahmer, one of the worst serial killers in the history of America. He was interviewed by Stone Phillips on Dateline NBC. Listen to what he said. If a person doesn't think there's a God to be accountable to, then what's the point of trying to modify your behavior to keep it within acceptable ranges? That's how I thought anyway. I always believed the theory of evolution is truth, that we all just came from the slime. When we died, you know, that was it. There's nothing. So why did he go out and commit these heinous acts of murder? Because of his worldview. His worldview led him. And ladies and gentlemen, your worldview is what makes you, you. You act the way that you do based upon what you believe about the world that you live in. That's why you do it. And so, some people say this attack on the book of Genesis and this whole attack on creation, that it's a side issue. You know, oh, it's not important. You know, there's just a bunch of old stories in there. You know, I remember Ken Ham was approached by this woman at a meeting, and he was trying to reason with her. And she's like, Ken, you don't understand. We just need to tell people about Jesus. Well, he said, well, why? Because Jesus loves them. Well, why? Because he's Jesus. Why? Because he loves them. Why? Well, why does he love them? Well, because he's Jesus. Well, why does he need to love them? And, you know, she was going on and on until finally Ken got to the point in her thing. He says, you know, well, why is there sin? And she said, oh, I see what you're trying to do. And like, yeah, I see what he's trying to do too, you know. Because your worldview, why do you think the way you think? Your life depends on it. In February of last year, 474 congregations celebrated Evolution Weekend. That means they went into their churches and they preach from their pulpits that evolution and the Bible are absolutely harmonious. Unbelievable. There's over 13,000 members of clergy that have signed this, what they call the clergy letter, promoting this kind of stuff. In our country alone. Is it any wonder we're going backwards? Because people don't believe in what? They don't believe in the authority of the Word of God. They've been blinded by secular humanism and by evolution. The Southern Baptist Church has done surveys on what is happening within their churches. And they have found that 88% of children raised in evangelical homes now leave the church at the age of 18, never to return. Let's try to make this hit home to you. If you're here this morning and you're age 18 or younger, raise your hand. Okay, so we've got 8 down here, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, put your hands down. If this survey is true, then 88% of those people who raised their hands are gone when they turn 18. You want to know why they're leaving? They're leaving because they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. That's why they're leaving. Because the Bible has become impractical to them. It's not giving them the answers they desire or seek for their life. And the Southern Baptist Church has figured this out. The Bible tells us in Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And, you know, it's amazing as I look at the Scripture and I look in my history, you know, in the past I used to hear verses from people. I'd watch football games. I'd see John 3:16, right, on the backdrops and so forth. And that's good. It made me think about it. I wonder what that is. But when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said something before John 3:16. He said what's on the screen. He said, Nicodemus, if I have told you of earthly things and you believe not, then how are you going to believe when I teach you the heavenly things? And I submit to you, we're going to pull over and park on this verse and those earthly things. And I want to show you just how important it is. This is also reinforced later in John chapter 5 when the Lord said, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. All right, let's stop right there. For had you believed Moses... Well, what did Moses write? First five books of the Bible, which include what? Genesis, which includes what? The real history of the world. Hey, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, then how are you going to believe my word? Nah, insights into how man thinks and what motivates him. When we change our glasses, when we take off secular humanistic glasses, and we put on a biblical worldview, my world looks totally different. I see that the Bible tells me that the earth is very young, that there was no death before the fall, that God created kinds. Dinosaurs were living the same time as humans, as we just saw last hour. We learned about Noah's flood, and we're going to talk about that tonight. And so on the basis of these events, I have a set of presuppositions that build my way of thinking in the world that I live in. Okay? It's a whole different way of thinking. And it helps me interpret the facts that I have in the present. Because the Bible is the history book of the universe. And it can be trusted in everything that it touches upon. And so I want to go back to what I shared with you earlier today and go a little farther with it. Dr. Gary Parker came up with this acrostic, the seven seas of world history. We use it in the Creation Museum. This is a storyline that's taught there. And so, creation. Creation is a real event that happened in the history of the world that affects you and me today. Why did God create this world? Why did he create all this? Succinctly, it's for this reason. Because he knew that you were going to enter time and be created, and that you would have an opportunity to come to know him and have fellowship with him. He created this world, he created Adam and Eve, so that they would have fellowship with him. That's the reason. Amen? That's why. The 6 days of creation. Yeah. The point is, God wants fellowship with man. And so he creates the world. And then what happens? That creation becomes separated. That relationship is separated because of man's sin. Man sins and it separates that relationship with God. God knew it. He knew it was going to happen. He even tells us in Genesis when he's talking to Lucifer, hey, you who've come, yeah, you've bruised his heel, but he who is coming is going to crush your head. This relationship that is now severed one day will be made right again. But for now, Adam and Eve, they sin, and now that sin affects the whole universe. The whole creation groans, as we learn in Romans. And so, creation. Corruption is a real event that happened in the history of the world. It affects you and me today. Did you know that? You should know it. Because most of the problems we have today is because of this real event that happened in the history of the world. What would it be like to have no sickness? That's what it was like here. What would it be like to have no death? That's what it was like right here. What would it be like to have no suffering? Man, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? You better believe it. If you don't believe it, what's wrong with you? Amen. I almost cut my finger off the other day. I was thinking about, praise God, thank you for life. It hurts like mad. There's all sorts of problems we have today. Why? They come from a root of a big problem that happened years ago. All right, so man sins. What's the next event? Well, man goes out, he populates the earth, but then he becomes so sinful, God has to destroy the earth. And so he gets a righteous man named Noah. And he takes Noah and his sons and their wives and put them on an ark. And then he put animals on the ark and he destroys the world that once was. When you and I walk outside today, we see a remnant of a beauty that once existed. Okay? It's a remnant. It's not the world at all, what it was like prior to the flood. But we still live. God's provided food, shelter, our opportunity that we can live and know Him. The creation witnesses of His power and His glory. But this catastrophe came as a result of judgment on what? Sin. Man's sin. And so, creation, corruption, catastrophe. What's the next real event that happened in the history of the world that affects you and me today? Man was supposed to be dividing, going out across the face of the earth. He decides to stay in one group, in an area, and they try to build a tower to God. And so God brings languages into existence. And so what happens? Man disperses across the face of the earth. You want to know the answer to racism? The answer is found here at this real event in the history of the world. We'll cover that later this week in biology. Amen? Real answers. You want to know why there are different languages in the world today? Did languages just show up through man's experience? Did one guy take a rock and throw it at another guy, and the guy goes, oh, and they go, language, that's where we got it. We got it from experience, right? That's where we got Portuguese. That's why we have Russian. That's why we have English. Language itself is a major testimony to the glory of God because of the impossibility of these things arising out of random and chance processes through long periods of time. Anyhow, creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion. Then what? Christ. Christ was foretold to come because God wants this relationship with man. And now He's come. And He came, why? So that He could go to the cross. Why? So that He can reconcile man back to Himself, because someday there's going to be a future consummation when this will be similar to this. Praise God. Seven major events in the history of the world that if we'll learn them, we'll learn how to apply these as we look at the world that we live in. But now I want to show you something. What if I can make you think there's no such thing as creation, but there was a Big Bang billions of years ago? And that's where this all came from. And there's no such thing as sin coming into the world. Don't you understand? It's the battle of survival of the fittest. Only the strong will survive. If you want to be successful in this world, young man, then you better learn how to stand up and fight. And you better learn how to get whatever you can. Yeah, that's what I was taught when I grew up. Some of you were taught that too. Hey, there's no such thing as Noah's flood. Don't you realize that over long periods of time, that's where all this came from? Old Miss University graduate students there, I'll share with you in a moment what they told me. But they were taught that 1 millimeter takes 1,000 years to be laid down. Really, that's what they're taught. It's long periods of time. That's how the world came to where it is today. And there's no such thing as languages coming into existence. Languages came from man's experience. Well, what just happened here? What did I tell you about 5 minutes ago? Jesus said to Nicodemus, if I have taught you of earthly things and you believe not, then how will you believe when I teach you of heavenly things? Folks, those are all earthly things. And if I can get them, if I can get you to have the wrong understanding of the real history of the world, I have no problem clouding your mind about this. You see that relationship? And that's what happened to me. Because I had no idea about this because of these things. So what we're going to do, I hit the wrong button here. What we're going to do is I'm going to use the Word of God. And we're going to spend the rest of our sessions looking at the world that we live in through the lens of Scripture and making sense of things like outer space. We're going to make sense of things like geology in this message and in others. We're going to talk about the family and morality. Hey, we even started talking about dinosaurs. Why? Because this is the history book of the world. And it can be trusted. And it talks about all sorts of things in here. I just got to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what I need. And I need help. And that's why I'm here, to give you help and encouragement. Because I sat where you sit many years ago. Amen? All right, so let's look at some things. Evolution says science has proven you can't trust the Bible. Let me show you what this is all about. It's all about operational science versus historical science. You see, I used to think a scientist was some guy with a lab coat, pocket protector, you know, had some things in the pocket protector. He stood behind a granite table and he had beakers and stuff. I had no idea what a real scientist was. I mean, that's all I thought they were. I had no idea. In the world of science, there's all sorts of science. But really, the creation evolution issue comes down to operational science versus historical science. Operational science is something that happens in the present. It's repeatable. It's observable. You put water on the stove, you put it in the pot, you turn the heat up, you measure the temperature, it boils at a certain temperature, you cool it down, you repeat it over and over again. Operational science benefits you and I immensely. You have electricity in this building. You're sitting on chairs, the concrete under your feet. We have biological advances that are unbelievable. Some of you have had heart transplants. You've had other organs transplanted. We have computers. We have all sorts of things, cars, airplanes. All of that comes from operational science. And as a Christian, I am wholeheartedly in agreement with operational science. You should be too. As a Christian, I'm not opposed to science. I embrace it. Because science discovers the truths that God has created in our world. That's what it does. Okay? But then there's this historical science. Historical science is something that happened in the past. Okay? Wasn't seen by anybody alive today. As a matter of fact, it happened one time, like the Grand Canyon. Can you scientifically go back and show me how the Grand Canyon was formed? No. Because you can't go back and see it happen. It's a one-off event. I want you to watch the screen. Most Christians don't understand this. Creation and evolution are historical sciences. They're beliefs about what happened in the past. I can't prove to you through historical science how the world got here. You understand that? Because that's operational science is different. But what I can do is I can look at my world in the present to try to understand what happened in the past. And then I can take that, what I learn, and apply it to those two belief systems and see which one makes the most sense. You see, we all have the same facts. You realize that? So you have the same facts as everybody else. You dig up a bone, you all have a bone. As a matter of fact, we all have the same facts, and all facts are interpreted. Ah. See, there's very few facts that speak for themselves. All of them, mostly all of them, are interpreted. All facts are interpreted based upon what? A presupposition. It's what you already have in your mind when you begin looking at the fact. So you as a parent, your kid comes out, he's got chocolate all over his face, and all the cookies are gone. Your presupposition is probably correct. Amen? Yes. But you see, the learned knowledge was in your mind and you applied it to the fact that was in front of you. Your kid's got chocolate all over his face. Actually, his sister did it. We all know that as young guys. All facts are interpreted based on presuppositions. So here's what we have. We have the Christian and the non-Christian. They're all looking at a fact, but the worldview is the interpretation of the evidence. See that? That's what this is all about. That's what this whole discussion is all about. Now I want you to listen to Professor Richard Lewontin. This guy is intelligent, okay? He's smart, and he's not lying when he says, we take the side of evolutionary science, in spite of the patent absurdity of some of its constructs, in spite of its failure to fulfill many of its extravagant promises of health and life, in spite of the tolerance of the scientific community for unsubstantiated just-so stories. When I grew up, those were called lies. Okay? That's what they are. Why? Because we have a prior commitment. A commitment to what? Molecules to man, materialism. Moreover, that materialism is absolute. Why? For we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. Ho-ho. Ho-ho-ho. What did he just say? Layman's terms. We're going to believe evolution because I don't want to be accountable to God. Yeah, that's what he just said. And he's the professor of genetics at Harvard University. So are they really interested in learning the truth about some science? The answer is no. Just like Pastor said earlier, a lot of times it's about funding. It's not about finding the truth. It's about keeping their jobs. And that's true. And it's sad. 2 Peter says, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers. And they're out there, folks, walking after their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant. They don't want to believe what? That the word of God and the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed water perished. They don't want to believe that. Why? Because there's accountability when you turn your worldview over to God. When God's not in your worldview, kill the cat, kill the kid, what's the difference? See that? Your worldview affects you so much. What we see in God's Word, though, agrees with what we see in God's Word. Now I want to give you some real-time examples of how this works. Here's the Grand Canyon, for instance. How long does it take to make a canyon? Does it take millions of years to make a canyon? No, it doesn't take millions of years to make a canyon. It just takes the right conditions. It just takes what? The right conditions. How do I know? Can I go back to the Grand Canyon and see it made? No, I can't. But you know what I can do? I can go to Mount St. Helens in 1980, where they had so much data on this on the geological side, it's astounding. So when this volcano blew up back in May 18, 1980, we saw things happen. One of the things that happened was Engineers Canyon was formed. This canyon was formed because of Spirit Lake was being pumped out by engineers. And so before they started pumping Spirit Lake out, no canyon here. Now, 22 months later, or 29 months later, 90-foot deep canyon is carved out by the water coming through the area from pumping out the lake. So does it take millions of years to make a canyon? No, it just takes what? The right conditions. And this is an example. Not fast enough for you? We'll jump over a couple of canyons to this one. It's called the Little Grand Canyon. 140th scale, the size of the Grand Canyon. 29 months? No. 29 weeks? Not even close. 29 days? Not even close. 29 hours? You're getting warmer. In a matter of 3 or 4 hours, this canyon was carved out on a mudflow on the 19th of March in 1982. And the bottom of this is basalt rock carved out more than 60 to 90 feet deep, the hardest rock known to man. It doesn't take millions of years to make a canyon. It takes what? The right conditions. There you go. Now I'll ask you another one. What about those rock layers? Does it take millions of years to make rock layers? No, it just takes what? How do I know? Because we've seen it happen. That's why. Here it is, Mount St. Helens again. The initial airfall blast, May 18, 1980, deposited this layer. The second one came on June 2nd of 1980. The third one came 2 years later. And then another mud flow came through the area, exposing all these initial deposits. Three large layers, doesn't take millions of years, just took the right conditions. We look a little closer at the middle layer here, and look what we find. Microfine laminations. We take the microscope and go in there, we can see the crystals arranged in different patterns in each of the layers, the millimeter layers. It was all formed at once as all of this flow came through the area. It doesn't take millions of years. It just takes what? When I was at Ole Miss University and I shared that slide, four kids stopped me in the middle of the message. They stood up on their chairs. They talked to the other 500 students that were there. They were all PhD geology students. And they said, hey, in order to get the answer right on the test, we had to say it took 1,000 years to make 1 millimeter. And this guy just destroyed it in 3 slides. Why? Because this is the real history of the world. It doesn't take millions of years. It just takes the right conditions. How about a fossil? We'll do a session on fossils. It doesn't take millions of years to make a fossil. It just takes the right condition. This is a flounder. You can't eat this one. He's rock hard. He's identical to the one I caught, ones I caught as a kid off the coast of Cuttyhunk near Martha's Vineyard where I grew up. If this was millions of years old, then how come there's no change between the one in the fossil record and the one I would eat as a kid? Or you could eat today. Because evolution demands change over long periods of time. And yet, as you're going to learn in the fossil record stands as a major testimony against molecules to man evolution. Here's an ichthyosaur. It's giving birth. Burial happens rapid, catastrophic, not long, slow periods of time. Maybe you came here this morning, you had some of this with your eggs. That's a petrified ham. See the stitching in it? Yeah. Here's a hat. This hat came out in Tiwaiora, New Zealand. It was buried in a volcanic eruption in 1886. They started digging, and 20 years later, they found out the leather hat became a hard hat. Okay? Here's some kids in Australia. We're going down the beach with their mom and dad, and one of them kicked over this rock. And you kids, you should remember this, okay? Why? Because it's a matchbox car in it. How do you get a car in a rock? Millions of years? No. What? The right conditions. Here's a clock in a rock. You getting the idea? What I find in my world agrees with what I read in God's Word. This idea of millions of years doesn't hold up at all. Here's a coelacanth. Evolutionists said, well, it lived 340 million years ago. It went extinct about 70 million years ago. And they said this because this fossil was found in the same layers as T-Rex bones. Okay? Oh, it lived a long time ago. Yeah? Well, they said that until 1938 when they caught one off the coast of Madagascar. And then they started looking around in India and they find these things all over the place. We like to call these living fossils, things that are in the fossil record and now they're alive and well on planet Earth. And they're in the same layers as dinosaur bones. There's a museum in Germany that has over 500 living fossils identified in it. It's amazing. When I share with you on fossils, I'm going to share with you. I got the books by Dr. Werner. They're on my table. It's unbelievable what we learn about biology and the fossil record. This whole idea science has proven you can't trust the Bible is absolutely false. And so what happens is we see what we see in God's Word agrees with what we read. What we see in God's world agrees with what we see in God's Word. Very quickly, consider this. Someone mentioned this earlier. Here's Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And yet you came in here thinking, well, I think there's big gaps of time when the earth was created and so on and so forth on day two. And really? Are you telling me that Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden standing on top of what? A pile of bones? And inside that fossil record, we find what? We find dead things. We even find thorns in the fossil record. And the scripture is clear that thorns didn't come until after the pronouncement of the curse. This whole idea, the gap theory, I'm sorry, it doesn't measure up to what the Bible says. So what does this all boil down to? I want to show you. It boils down to this right here. This little boy was like me when I was a kid. Or this was me. And the kid says, hey, Jesus loves you. The Bible says so. Ah, well, the Bible isn't true. Where did Cain get his wife? Where did dinosaurs fit in the Bible? How does you know there's a God? Where did Adam and Eve come from? If God created Adam and Eve, where did all the races come from? Then I don't know. See, I told you the Bible isn't true. And then this is what happens. Little fella goes home. And he says, Mom and Dad, can you help me with these problems in the Bible? Where did Cain get his wife? Where did the dinosaurs fit into the Bible? How do you know God exists? Where did all the races come from? And they say, right? Go ask the pastor, yeah.
You know what happens to this young man right here? He becomes one of the 88% that are going to leave the church at the age of 18, never to return. That's why. And I submit to you that I know for a fact, because I'm standing here, that you can grow up, you can even have knowledge about salvation, and you can be blinded to what's going on in our world because you really haven't searched the scriptures. You really haven't had an understanding of how this evolution has saturated our minds. And that's why we're here. I'm here to try to help you. Pastors here have been preaching faithfully for years to try to help you understand what? That there is an alternative to secular humanism. It's called the truth. And it's found here in the Word of God. And if we'll set our minds towards the truth and set our minds towards what the Word of God says, we can be free from the bondage that is found in secular humanism. You see, it was a perfect world, and then sin came into the world. And right now, we still live in this day and time. Someday, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But right now, we're right there. The Bible is the history book of the universe. And by the way, you can't be saved apart from the real history of the world. You ever thought of it that way? You can't be saved apart from the real history of the world. And if you've been blinded by this adverse truth of millions of years, I want to encourage you to come back home. Come back to the Word of God. Learn about the real history of the world and recognize, just as Jesus said to Nicodemus, if I have told you earthly things, Nicodemus, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And praise God for John 3:16. Why? Because in the beginning, God did this. This is the history of the world. And I am here to do what? Because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Why? Because of the real history of the world. Creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, the cross, a future consummation. I have hope in what? In the real history of the world, because the real God who really made the world really told me what happened, and I can find it right here. And I can put my faith and trust in it, and He can change my life. And that's what it means to sanctify the Lord God. Put Him first. Get that biblical worldview right. And then be ready. What? Because God's going to bring people to you. Why? Because He died that people might be saved. And there's no greater thing to know than someone has put their trust in Christ as their Savior. This recently came home to me because I lost my dad December 6th. And I am so glad I've heard of a testimony that he did that. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. What matters is, where is your faith? Have you put your faith in the right place? You can put your faith in evolution, secular humanism, and you'll be dead wrong. Or you can put your faith and trust in the One who is the Creator, who's provided all things, that we might know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, and that you can have peace. And that peace comes from knowing God. Do you have that peace this morning? I hope you do. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor's going to come in a moment. Do you have that peace? I found that peace in 1982 when I said, Lord, I need to be saved. He came into my heart and He changed my life. Do you have that change? Can you look back at a time in your life and say, man, I changed? If you don't have any change, would you consider what we said today? Would you consider and put your faith and trust in Him who is the Creator, who holds the very molecules of your being together? Because He loves you. He loves you so much that He created you, and He proved it by dying for you. I hope you'll put your faith and trust in Him. And then if you're a believer, I pray that this has encouraged you and that this has strengthened you, that you might live godly in this present world and influence others for His honor and glory. Pastor?